So this morning we're wrapping up a three-part series called On the Waiting List. So we're talking about the seasons in life where it seems like our dreams or the things that we are longing for are on hold. The first week, Lee talked about how waiting actually has benefits, right? So it transforms our character if we let it. It reveals our true motives when we wait. And we learn that God is with us in that murky middle and that our waiting time has value. So not to like begrudge it, but to thank God for it. And then John was here last week and shared stories from Royal Family Kids Camp and made us all cry. He talked about how we don't always get the fulfillment, or we don't always get to see the fulfillment of what we're waiting for. Right? So you might be praying for something and longing for something, but you might not get to see the results of that in this life. I mean, he talked about how Isaiah talked about the promised Son of God coming, but he didn't get to see it happen. But it was something that he longed for and he waited for and he prayed for. And sometimes that happens, but it's still worth the waiting and the prayers because we don't know what's going to happen on the other side. And that's all about trust, but we're going to talk about that more. Sometimes we don't even know what's next. And we're waiting, we don't even know what we're waiting for. We're just waiting on God to give us the next step, the next thing. Or at least some direction. Or maybe we're just like, God, I just need a dream. I just feel like I don't have anything to look forward to. Right? Have any of you been there? Yeah. Before this church existed, we knew that God had ministry for us, but we didn't know what it was or what it would look like. So we're just waiting on God to tell us what was next for us. And there was a period of time where the future was unknown. We had no idea what God wanted us to do. And I didn't even know what I wanted, much less what God wanted. So somebody would have said, well, what do you want? I don't know. What does God want? I don't know. It was pretty aimless. And waiting looked different in that season, obviously, because I didn't know what I was waiting for. And some days just felt really frustrating. Because if you're anything like me, you want answers. You want clarity, right? If you're human, I think you want clarity. Some people are like, I don't care. It's an adventure. No, that's not me. He'll tell me when he's ready. No, I need to know. I want to know now so I know how to plan, right? You may have, and I'm sure have felt that way at some point or another. And maybe you're in that place now where you feel like progress in an area of your life has come to a screeching halt and nothing is happening. Maybe you're in a job situation that's tough to endure and you're waiting and you're hoping that conditions will change. And that's what you're waiting for. Maybe you're praying for healing and you're wondering if you should keep waiting. And keep praying. Maybe you're waiting for your spouse or your child to become interested in spiritual things. And that's can feel like a long wait, right? And this morning I want to talk about the how of waiting. So there are plenty of passages in the Bible, right, that tell us to wait on the Lord. But I wanted to know, what does that mean? What does that mean to wait on the Lord? I mean, obviously, wait for him to do something. But what does that mean? What does that look like? How do we wait on the Lord? So we're going to talk about that, but I would like to pray. So, Father, we thank you so much for your presence in this place. And Holy Spirit, we just submit to everything that you want to do here this morning. So regardless of what we have on our agenda or what I have in my notes, God, I just submit that to you. And I ask that you would speak. And that you would bring truth. And that you would bring comfort where there needs to be comfort. And God, that your word would come alive in us today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to go back to the Psalms this morning, this time to Psalm 130. We're going to read verses 5 through 7. It says this, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. So the main thing I want you to take from this morning is this. Being confident and focused on who God is enables us to wait. So the word translated wait in the Bible often denotes hope, okay? So it carries the idea of confidence that something or someone expected is on the way. So just like somebody says they're coming over to your house and you wait for them to get there, that type of hope is not, I wonder if they'll come or not. It's more of a, you're expecting. They said they're going to come and they're going to come, right? So it's that type of expectation. You have confidence that it's going to happen. And we have seen the sun rise every day of our lives, right? Has there ever been a day that it has failed to rise? No. So it's never failed. And we know that we can count on it rising based on past performance, right? And so we can expect it. And that scripture talks about how the watchman waits for the morning because he knows it's reliable. He's not going to wait for the morning if he didn't expect it to come. And the psalmist says that he waits for the Lord even more than the watchman waits for the morning. That means that God is even more reliable than the sun coming up every day. That's pretty reliable. I don't think you guys are excited about that as much as you should be, because that's pretty darn reliable. Waiting is wrapped up in knowing and trusting and believing that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he says he will do, just like the sun will rise every morning. So if you see God as withholding or punishing, then you're going to have a hard time waiting, right? If you see a God that, you know, folding his arms and, well, you screwed up yesterday, so you're going to have to wait an extra day for that thing you're praying for, you can have a hard time waiting. But if you see God as a loving father who loves to give good gifts to his children, then it becomes a little bit easier, doesn't it? Yeah. And also, what you're waiting for is not dependent on you. Isn't that exciting to know? It's not dependent on you or your performance or lack thereof, right? Maybe you have done all that you can do, and you're just waiting for God to act on your behalf. Or you're like we were, waiting for God to give you direction. And you might be tempted to think it's not happening. This isn't happening because of something I did. Don't we go there a lot? When we feel like God's not answering a prayer, and we go, okay, let's evaluate. Did I sin in the last 24 hours? Like, we just start to think through, right? I mean, and of course, we need to evaluate. We need to evaluate where we are. We need to ask God to search our hearts regularly. That's very important. I'm not saying that don't do that. But often, we're waiting because of some other variable. It most of the time has nothing to do with us. So remember when we talked about the Crap Happens series, and we talked about how there's so many variables, and we just boil it all down to, well, God's not acting, or I'm not doing things right, and we boil it down to those two variables, and there's so many other things. There's so many other factors. So we can't just say, well, I'm still waiting on God to heal me because I have done X, Y, Z. That's simplifying something that, I mean, I can't say it right, but you know what I'm saying. You guys get me. I mean, that's saying that it's, again, that's all about us, isn't it? And we're making it dependent on us. It's not dependent on us. We have to do our part for sure. But it's not dependent on us. It's about who God is. And what did verse 7 say? In Psalm 130, verse 7 says that God, or that with the Lord there is mercy. There is abundant redemption. So we have to focus on that. So what do you believe about God? Because what you believe about God is going to make a huge difference in how you wait. And the psalmist says, in his word I do hope. So what does his word say? His word says that he is a miracle-working God in Galatians 3:5. His word says that he is for us in Romans 8:31. He is our healer in Isaiah 53:5. He is our deliverer. He is our advocate. He gives us revelation knowledge. He gives us the keys to the kingdom. Wow. And he gives us spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. He is faithful to complete the work he began in us, right? Philippians 1:6. That's just a snippet of who he is and what he does. And if that's who he is and if that's what he does, can't we trust him? If we really believe those things about him, we can wait, can't we? So we often face the question, what do I do during the waiting process? So does this mean we just sit back and do nothing? There's some things that I believe the Bible indicates are involved in the waiting process. So that's what we're going to talk about. First off, waiting involves seeking the Lord. So Lamentations 3:5 says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. So like Lee talked about a couple weeks ago, sometimes God is looking for us to lean into him, right? He wants us to learn a greater dependence on him through the waiting. And it's where our motives can be examined. So that's where the seeking comes in. This is also where inner healing can take place that will greater prepare us for what we're waiting for. So when we were waiting for direction in what was our next step, God did some healing work in us during that time that prepared us for where we are today, right? So we didn't know where he was taking us, but we let him do some work in us in the meantime. So God brought things in that period of time. We were in between the prayer center and planting this church, and God brought things to my remembrance that he wanted to touch and heal. And then also during that time, that was the period of time in my life that I can remember I had the most dreams that I know were from the Lord and the most visions. Go figure. So I have a notebook where I write down anything that I think is significant. I don't know if God said it, but I'm going to write it down just in case, and then that'll come back around. And that period in our lives, in between, the murky middle, as Lee called it, was the time where my notebook is the most full of just stuff. And I didn't know what it meant. And it's so funny, I go back and look at it now and go, oh my gosh, he fulfilled this. There were visions and dreams about camp, and I didn't know that that's what it was. I mean, there was stuff in there that was like, and it was even after we said yes to camp, and I went back and then looked in the notebook, and I went, oh, that dream, where all these children, and we were in this place, and I won't even go into the dream, but it was amazing. And I was like, I didn't know what it meant at the time. God was preparing us, right? So it was a huge growing time for me. And this can also apply to our daily time with him. So, okay, when you ask someone a question, like let's say I'm going to go up to Hudson and say, Hudson, what do you want for lunch today? And then I just walk away. I didn't even wait for an answer. But don't we do that to God sometimes? We sit down and we pray and we're, thank you, God, thank you for this and this and this. And if you could just give me direction for my life, that'd be great. In Jesus' name, amen. And sometimes we just need to sit and let him respond. That's what seeking the Lord is. We seek him and we're asking him for answers to our questions, but we don't wait for the answers. And a lot of times he wants to talk in those quiet moments. And sometimes he doesn't talk right then, but I know he honors it when we wait. And there's other things he might say too. And so it's a discipline to develop. I mean, we are most desperate when we're waiting for clarity, right? We're waiting for a specific healing, or we're waiting for our loved one to find Christ. We're desperate, aren't we? But we can use that desperation to fuel our intimacy with Christ. And the second thing is, waiting involves resting in God's timing. Now, this is a hard one. This is a really hard one. We want things yesterday, right? We want to help God along, and we want to get the ball rolling. And when we try to force doors open, or we nag our spouse to come to church, or we otherwise take matters into our own hands, it actually often delays progress. So remember Abraham, when God promised him a son, right? They had already waited many years, almost 86 years. And then when God said that he and Sarah would have a son, then they waited some more. And then they got tired of waiting, didn't they? And they took matters into their own hands. And how did that work out for them? Not so great. So there were repercussions to that decision, over that decision, because they wanted to bring about the promise sooner. And instead of waiting on God's timing, which is always perfect, we don't think so, but it's always perfect. And we do this too. We take jobs that we hate, or we rush into relationships that aren't good for us, or we fret and we moan and we groan, don't we? We withdraw, or we run from things. We may try to control others, or to defend ourselves instead of letting God be our defense. You know, sometimes we're waiting for conflict to, you know, for there to be peace in the midst of conflict. Or we're waiting for God to be our advocate, and we're like, why aren't you doing it yet? All these things are being said about me. And God's like, got you, right? But we want to tell our side, and we want to tell everybody the truth. And it just ends up delaying progress. And out of fear of failure or loss, we may even compromise our convictions, because we just want to get moving forward. And all of these things are things we do when we're leaning on the flesh rather than trusting God. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. So trust his timing, because he sees everything from beginning to end. Right? He sees the end from the beginning. He's got a bird's eye view. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Now, we've heard this scripture a lot, but I read it this time. When I read it this time, I felt like God put the emphasis on a different part, and I heard it differently this time. And what I heard was, be still and know that I am God, not you. Right? Being still means that we've ceased from following our own agenda, that we've stopped trusting in our own strength and our own willpower, that we are waiting on the Lord to exchange our weakness for his strength. He is God. And honestly, if we're impatient in the waiting, if we're impatient, it means that we don't trust him. And that's a hard word to hear, because we all like to feel like we trust God. But when we're impatient, doesn't it mean we don't really fully trust him? And we want to push things along. And we get impatient because we want to be in control, don't we? We want to hold the reins. So we have to trust that God will speak to us when it's time to make a move. We get caught up in fear, and we're afraid that we're going to miss his direction. But God is good, right? There's so many times that while we were waiting for God to speak to us that I thought, are we missing something? Because it feels like we're waiting for so long. Are we missing something? Did he say something and we just didn't understand it? Did we not get it? And we have to trust that God is a God who, again, he loves his children. He gives direction to us. The Holy Spirit reveals all truth, the Bible says, right? So we have to trust that when it's time, he will speak. And he'll make sure we hear it, right? So being confident and focused on who God is enables us to wait. And this leads me to my next point, which is keep moving forward while waiting. So one day, Lee and I were talking about a friend of our, talking with a friend of ours about our situation. And we're like, we just don't know what God wants us to do. We just don't know. And I'll never forget what she said. Because we told her, we keep asking God to show us, but we're not getting anything definite. So we don't know what to do. And she said, what was the last thing he told you to do? Keep doing that. And until he tells you something different, just keep doing that. So if you're waiting for a manifestation of healing in your body, keep taking care of yourself, right? Doing what you know is good for your body while you wait on the Lord. If you're waiting for God to bring breakthrough in your marriage, keep loving your spouse the way that God has shown you to love. If you are waiting for direction from God for your life, keep getting alone with him. Keep seeking him for purpose and keep drawing closer to him in intimacy. Allow him to do the work in you. And a commitment to grow in that murky middle is how we keep moving forward while we're waiting. Just keep growing. While we're waiting, we can't just stop forward movement. Right? But we're moving forward in relationship with him and in intimacy with him. And then the last thing is this. Even when those dreams begin to become a reality, we have to remember that waiting is a continuous journey. You are always going to be waiting for something. Right? Always going to be waiting. So God will often give us a big vision or a dream, but he rarely gives every step we need to get from here to there all at once. A lot of times he just gives us the next step. And then until we step out, we don't get the next one. We don't get five steps ahead. We only get one. You know, when we knew that we were supposed to do camp, So we sign and say we're going to do the camp. Have no idea how we're going to do it. Just have to take a step. Oh, well, now we've got to raise $22,000 through our first year. Okay. That was a hard waiting period. Anybody who was on the board that year, you know. Saw a lot of hand-wringing from me. But did God come through? Yes. He's more reliable than the sun. And as we took that step forward, then he gave us the next step and the next and the next. And it's amazing. It's amazing how he does that, how he leads and guides and provides like he says he will, right? So if we get in the habit of seeking him about everything, and if we're confident in his promise to help us, then we're truly going to be waiting on him. Being confident and focused on who God is enables us to wait. So as we wrap up today, I wanted to take a few minutes to meditate on who God is, and I want to practice just briefly waiting in God's presence. And we did a little bit this morning, and that was awesome, right? It's not that hard. And so we need to develop this discipline of just waiting in God's presence. And you may not necessarily come away with answers or the fulfillment to all of your needs in that moment as far as the manifestation of all of those things. But you will come away with more of him. And in him is everything that we need. Right? So as we continue to seek him and take in more of him, we can wait. Isaiah 40:31 tells us that those who wait on him will have renewed strength. And I want to pray for renewed strength for you today to wait and greater revelation of his loving kindness. And that's one of the things I feel like we need to pray for today is just renewed strength first. And then the greater revelation of his loving kindness was something I felt like as the worship team was praying this morning, I felt like God gave me something that's for, it might be for more than one person here, or it might just be for one person, I don't know. But I feel like there's someone here today that feels like that you are just an afterthought to God. That maybe he's busy doing other things, more important things. And sure, he loves you, but you're just an afterthought. And what and that you may even feel like that's why you're having to wait so long for whatever it is you're waiting for. I feel this very strongly that you almost feel forgotten by God. And he wants you to know this morning that you are not forgotten. That you are the apple of his eye. That you are not an afterthought, but rather you are always on his mind. Always. There is not a moment in any day that he is not thinking about you. And whoever that is this morning, I just want you to receive that truth, because that's not an easy truth to receive, is it? It feels weird to think that God is always thinking about me, but it's true. So I encourage you to just abandon the lies and let God's truth sink into you this morning, and get prayer if that's you.